Today is Thursday. Wow, it's August 3rd, 2017. It's 11:12 in the morning. I'm John Williams. This is the Mincing Rascals podcast, the weekly podcast we record at the studios of WGN Radio. Portions of this are broadcast on my Saturday morning show. Let's advertise 11:10 Saturday mornings on WGN.
I'm Steve Bertrand, the host of The Business Lunch on WGN.
I'm Eric Zor. I'm the temperate columnist from the Tribune. Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
How about the tardy ones?
And Scott Stannis, thank you for that. We'll be getting to your adjective in just a moment. Scott Stannis has just rolled in. We're live. We're rolling. What's going on, Stannis?
Scott Stannis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and creator of the comic strip Prickly City and the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN Plus.
We appreciate you joining us. Eric, why are you temperate this week?
Well, I was temperate because last week, Kristen McQuarrie accused me of being temperate, and I own that. I own being temperate. I like to look at things in a balanced and thoughtful way, which I always do, by the way.
You know, and I think it's funny.
Wow, like Fox News.
We'll get to this in just a minute, but I think that the Jim Acosta Stephen Miller conversation was not temperate, and I think both of them failed. I think as much as it is easy to as easy it is to dislike Stephen Miller, the senior policy advisor to President Trump, he had a press briefing where he talked about immigration policy. I think sometimes the media falls into their trap, and I think Acosta was in bad form. We're going to start though out with something here in Cook County. This high energy podcast. Is being delivered to you without the aid of sweetened drink, many of which in Cook County are now taxed at an additional penny per ounce. Tax went into effect this week. Around the horn, do you think it's a good policy or not? I'll go first. Upon further consideration, I say this is a good plan. It's a necessary evil, poorly explained, but an avoidable tax at least.
That's so weird because I supported it before. I still probably do, but I think it's written badly.
They should have made it clearer. I think, okay, if it's going to happen, I don't have to pay it. They do need revenue, so I'm in. You are?
I'm in, but it was just badly written.
How about you?
Not clear. Only partially. I think it's too high. I think maybe, a big, like, what's the tax on a bottle of water? 10 cents or something like that in Chicago? Chicago has a bottled water tax. I don't buy bottled water, so I don't know what it is, but I think it's 5 or 10 cents.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me, something along that line. What you've got now is a tax that is just obscenely high in percentage-wise.
64 cents on a
dollar.
On a liter bottle.
It seems too high. It seems so disproportionate. I don't mind the idea of sin taxes in general, and I guess you call a sweetened beverage a sin. But I think this is an excessive.
Well, you wrote extensively and eloquently, brilliantly, about how terrible this was, but now you're okay with it.
No, I didn't say it was okay. I thought that it was poorly executed. I thought there's things like you pay.
Didn't you just say it was okay?
You pay for ice. No, I mean, no, I'm okay with the idea.
It's a temperate approach. Go ahead. Yeah,
look how temperate. Look it. I am vindicating my own adjective here. I'm saying that I think that the basic idea of taxing these beverages as a sin tax is a good one. I think it's too high. And it is confusing, and they do things like tax ice and so on.
Would you have voted for it or not?
I probably would have voted against it because I would have wanted it to be a different
tax. How about you, Scott Stannis?
Oh, I'm finally the voice of reason here. I'm against this damn thing. I think it was stupid from the beginning. Intemperate,
Scott Stannis.
They tried to pitch it, first off all, as some kind of sin tax or health tax. Horse crap. Of course it wasn't. It was nothing more than a revenue grab clumsily done by a heavily taxed Cook County already. I mean, remember when Toni Preckwinkle, the current president of the commission, came in and she was going to get rid of the Stroger tax, which to her credit, she did. And within a few years, she has now brought it back and then some. So, no, this is an outrage, and the people of Cook County are rightfully angry. And she's announced that she's running for re-election. Well, good luck with that.
I'm drinking water now out of a Coke Zero, an empty Coke Zero bottle, so I can kind of pretend. So I'll buy one in the morning.
Well, they probably tax the bottle, too.
Crystal Coke.
The Chicago Tribune posted online yesterday a quiz. Is it taxed or not? And it is impossible to anticipate.
Right. What did you score? Did you take it?
I did. I didn't keep a score, but I was about 50-50.
It scores for you. So.
We just printed it and then did it with our listeners. And our listeners who were zeroed in on this, no pun intended, they were paying attention. They were, you know, as involved as any of us. They had no clue. It was 50-50 for them, too.
We had a number of reporters at the Tribune post their results on Facebook, and it's abysmal.
I got 16 out of 20, and I've been writing about this thing. Of course, in my defense, in defense of those who didn't get it, you couldn't see the labels, and the labels will tell you what the ingredients are. So you have something like, I think, like LaCroix lime or whatever. that doesn't have sweetener in it. I'm not sure exactly what it has in it.
I don't know how they make it sweet, because it's a sweet drink.
It's a bubbly drink. It's a limey drink. But it's not really a...
It's flavored, I know. But the flavor to me, God, we've had this conversation on the air, is sweet. You cannot tell me that a LaCroix Mandarin Orange or Orange is not a sweet drink. That's why you like to drink it. It's carbonated, it's cold, and it's sweet. But it's not taxed. Doesn't have the ingredients, you know, aspartame or sugar.
They've done this tax in various places. They did it in Philly. They've done it in Berkeley. They've done it in Mexico. I think Mexico, the entire country, has a tax like this. And it seems
economies that are booming.
It seems to work. I think people get used to it after a while. Just like people get, you know what the tax is on a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah,
we don't have any smokers around the table here. But
now, you know how much a pack of cigarettes is now in Cook County?
Scott used to smoke, right?
I did, and I quit a long time ago. But talking to smokers, it's $14.50 a pack now.
No. A carton, you mean?
No.
$14?
Yes.
Not for a pack?
Yes.
No, a pack of cigarettes does not cost more than $14.
Okay, I'm lying. Yeah.
I don't smoke either. I've not kept track on this. We're going to double check on that. What does a pack of cigarettes cost? $16?
I'm saying $14.50 with all the taxes.
Oh, with all the taxes, well, it's $14.50. I am shocked to hear that. How do people still smoke? Evidently, you can't, you know, tax people into good habits. Steve Bartman.
Well, no, you can. I mean, no, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you can actually. These sin taxes do work, especially with younger kids. You know, when you're a teenager, $14 is a ton of money for a pack of cigarettes. And I think that it has discouraged youth smoking, and that's a good thing. So.
Okay, but people are paying the tax in Cook County for cigarettes, say. Say that the total bill is $14 and most of that's taxes.
I think it is. I think I'm going with Brother Stantis here.
Really?
I don't know why you questioned him, yeah.
Well,
never doubt.
Oh, not because I don't
just
love
because the number seems so high.
Thank you.
It seems ridiculous.
That's all it is. Holy
but
cow.
Welcome
why
to Chicago.
How does anybody justify buying cigarettes in Cook County?
Well, I think a lot of people do drive to Indiana. They load up in the back of your car.
Okay, so and is that fair then to the people that for convenience sake or maybe they don't have a reliable car or whatever, but people who are addicted to cigarettes, is it fair then to ask them to pay that much for their habit?
Yeah, you're doing them a favor.
Oh, that is exactly what Scott and I don't like. That is such a nanny state statement. We're doing them a favor. I'm doing you a favor by charging you $14. You're still buying the cigarettes, Steve.
But then our healthcare system has to absorb the costs that are incurred by the illnesses that people get when they get sick.
Okay, fine. This is an old argument. I think when you go down that road, then remember, chocolate milkshakes at McDonald's are not part of the Cook County sweet beverage tax. Okay, I think if you said a Diet Coke, a Coke, or a chocolate shake, which is the least healthy choice, what would you guess that is?
Well, the shake, of course.
Okay,
that's
my
guess,
too.
Tons of sugar, tons of fat.
But it has milk in it, right? Chocolate milk.
It's prepared on site. It's the same reason that a Starbucks Frappuccino with sugar prepared by the Starbucks staff is not taxed. But if it's a prepared can that they sell, then it is taxed.
But if you get a fountain drink and they hand you a cup with Coke in it, that is taxed.
You guys are making the argument of
how stupid this tax is. It's just badly, badly written.
You need an advanced degree to understand it.
I want to go on to Steve Bartman, the fan who caught a decisive foul, because we'll never end this
conversation. Didn't catch it. We'll never end
this. The fan who missed a decisive foul ball in the 2003 National League Championship Series game between the Cubs and the Marlins was surprisingly given an official World Series ring by the Cubs organization this week. Eric, was that a good idea, and was that well executed?
Well, I think it was a nice gesture for them to make because this guy has suffered quite a bit over the years. I thought that the statement that he issued was strong and gracious and fairly classy, similar to the statement that he issued right after the event happened. I mean, he was very forthright in both cases. As far as that all goes, I thought it was a fine gesture. I wish my idea was they should have put him on the buses going down from Wrigley to Grant Park last year, and then just introduce him along with Anthony Rizzo, so everyone cheers and then he waves and then that's it. I think that would have been a better way for him to help put this behind him.
Well, my question is, does he have to pay a Cook County tax for that ring?
That's actually an interesting question.
Someone said that. You know, on the radio, we always get these calls. Anytime a government official loses his job or her job, there's a call within 5 minutes. Are they going to get a pension? People are always worried about that. And when
Scaramucci.
It came up with Scaramucci. Is he going to get a pay? He didn't even work a full pay period, and they're worried about his pension.
Well, we give pensions to guys who work one day.
And that came up. Does he have to pay tax on that ring?
Never mind that. But what do you think about the whole gesture?
Honestly, John, I think it was great. I think it was well done. I cannot believe that we're still talking about it. I can't believe.
14 years later, you mean?
No, 5 days later.
Yeah.
The attention that it has gotten.
It's a great human drama.
Yeah, I know it is. And I'm talking about nationally, everywhere. We're still talking about it.
I got good web traffic on it yesterday. I'm sure every segment on this station
they
talked
about it. Your newspaper editorialized against this, by the way. They said they should have left him alone. The Sun-Times liked it. My read on the Tribune was that this is a guy who's always wanted to be absent from the conversation, and out of the blue, the Tribune has put him back into
it. Talked to his representative. He could have said no. It looked as if the Cubs have been approaching him for years.
They have been.
And he said yes this time.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I've always felt bad for this guy. He is proof that you do not have to be part of the media news cycle. And everybody says, well, you finally had to blog about it, or just, you know, you don't. Actually, you can disappear. Bartman has done that. And now, 5 days later, Steve, we're still talking about him, and people are wishing that he'd come on their shows.
Yeah, okay. When I said that, it wasn't a criticism of us, because everyone is still...
I'm not sensitive about that.
Whose idea was this? But because everyone is still talking about it. And that's my only thing is, it's like, okay, they did it. It's great. I'm just surprised... We're still litigating it.
We should label the conversations and arguments. Like number one is, would any fan have reached for the foul ball? And everyone's got an opinion on that. Number two is, did he actually deflect the ball from Moises Alou's glove?
Okay.
And that's another one. People argue about that. And then the third one is, did it make a difference in the game?
I can't believe we're still talking about those
but that's my point.
But those three arguments have been done to death. We should just say, let's have argument number two done, because everyone's got an opinion and nobody can be proven right or wrong. The argument that I made in my column this week was I thought that it was a mistake for him to do his Greta Garbo act for all these years. I think he should have done a couple of interviews. It would have helped put it behind him.
That's true.
I think that's what the history of these little scandalettes and episodes of shame tell us, which is there are second acts. People are forgiving. Most people have forgiven this guy.
That came up, too, when Murtha was on. I asked him that. I said,
Frank Murtha, his attorney.
Wouldn't it have been better, or I think it would have been better just to rip the Band-Aid off years ago?
Yep.
And he said what, that there was consideration of that, but Bartman just didn't want to do it.
He's talked to him about that a lot, every now and then. For instance, when they won the World Series, and each time he's demurred. And that's his right.
It's totally his right. I think it was bad strategy. I think it was totally his right. I don't question that. I just think if I'm his friend advising him, I say, look.
Because it's not going to end. It won't end until we see him on the street.
But I do think he did introduce a new argument. And, Scott, I'll ask you about this.
Sure.
One of the things that Stephen Bartman said in that little polemic of his, and his agent or attorney friend said that those were 99% Steve Bartman's words. I don't know Steve Bartman, but it sure had agents speak to me. Mm. But it was that we have to stop scapegoating people. We have to learn that it's a game, it's entertainment. We should be more civil in society. And Bartman was the big victim of all of that. This is Bartman talking. What do you make of all of that?
Well, could you imagine? I mean, this was before, if I'm remembering correctly, I think I am, that this was before social media. Could you imagine if that had happened like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there was no Reddit at the time, no Twitter.
No Facebook.
No tweeting. No.
Yeah. I think it carries on because there's a video of it. I mean, he's a distinctive presence. So, I mean, I think that's the reason the story has legs. I'm not sure I agree with Eric. I know that's shocking, but I think his silence has actually helped him. He's been able to
really
fall.
You do? You think so?
I think he's been able to disappear in his way, and I think if he does an interview or something, it gets hyped to the rafters. Everybody watches it and doesn't change anything. He's, you know, what's he going to say?
I think the more you hear, the more he's around, the more it's over.
And the less he is a cartoon figure, because actually when he doesn't when he disappears, I know I hate to say bad things about cartoons, but you know, the image of him is this guy with a Cubs hat on and the Walkman, the old headphones clamped over his ears. You know, with that deer in the headlights look, and that's all people know of him. They don't know. I mean, he's a real person with a real family and a real job. And
you don't know this.
He got a graduate degree from Notre Dame in the spring, right, John? That came up on your
graduate
show.
Degree,
and they took security steps. It sounded like he received his diploma under an assumed name or something for security reasons.
He He didn't want anybody to know.
But am I right? There are second acts in American life.
I think you are, and I think you're right. First of all of those people, way too many of them were chanting horrible things at him, but most people are forgiving. Most people are sympathetic.
And by now, and again, we won the damn World Series. That's enough.
We have a goat. We have a bar that's famous.
All right, new topic. Ready? Since we last gathered here.
Yes, sir.
Scaramucci got fired. We are considering a new immigration policy, points for learning English and being super competent. And Jim Acosta from CNN got into an argument with Stephen Miller, a senior policy advisor for the Trump administration. Fox News has backed away from the story that Hillary Clinton ordered a young DNC staffer murdered for leaking documents to WikiLeaks. Sean Hannity hasn't really backed away from that, though he said he's going to talk about it less now. Scott, what jumps out at you this crazy week?
Oh, just how stupid it's all gotten. I mean, really, now Hillary's coming out with a book, What Happened? Well, you know, you ran is what happened, and you lost. The whole idea of Fox and Hannity and Hillary killed Vince Foster or ordered this guy. I mean, it's all so preposterous. And then the argument, we were talking about this at the press conference, and I think the CNN reporter, frankly, was fed up with being the whipping boy for this administration. It's got to take a toll.
Acosta.
Yeah. And so I think that's why that came out. And everyone, I mean, who's acting like an adult now?
It's not preposterous. The Seth Rich stuff is not, of course it's preposterous, but it's important too because people believe it. Millions and millions and millions of people believe it.
Believe that Hillary ordered a hit.
The Seth Rich case, the DNC
that this guy leaked stuff to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, and that Hillary. Yeah,
not that Hillary. Not Hillary had him killed, but that he was killed by the DNC or something because he was leaking. I mean, but Scott and John, we go off on this during his show. People believe that stuff.
Oh, I don't mean to dismiss. I'm saying it's ridiculous.
That's why we can't. That's why we have to follow it and keep publicizing it. There was a political poll out earlier this week or late last week of the Trump supporters. I initially was incorrect when I said Republicans, but of Trump supporters, 49% believe that he won the popular vote. Half of Trump's voters think today that he won the popular
supporters.
Vote.
Supporters.
Voters, yeah.
People, I don't know that those are synonymous anymore.
Okay, well, I don't remember if the word was voters or supporters.
Here's my problem with this, guys. Steve and I have had this argument. Hear me out. I don't believe the poll. I believe people were answering that, and that was what the pollsters heard. I do not believe that 49% of Trump voters or Trump supporters believe that Trump won the popular vote. He didn't. It's widely reported. That's why we have that stupid
He says
commission.
It's not widely reported.
He says that he did. He says if you don't count the millions of people who voted illegally, he won the popular
vote. It's not reported where these people are watching. Okay, they're watching Fox News where they're being told that the DNC killed a boy and they let that boy's family suffer for these unsubstantiated rumors. And that goes on, and they believe it.
Didn't you think it was shocking when they had the percentage of people who think that Barack Obama is not a U.S. citizen or that he's a Muslim? And, of course, we understand that he's not. And you said, how can that many people believe that? And I think what people do to those pollsters is they're voting again. They're going, they don't like Barack Obama. He's a Muslim. They lob that out there like a verbal hand grenade, and they know full well he's not, but it sure makes them feel good when they do. And then we color all of them. It's discouraging because we're coloring all of us, America, as being that stupid or gullible.
Yeah, I
don't want to believe that.
Well, I think 2016 election proved to all of us that the polling is less than a fine art and less every day.
So fine. 49% said that they think he won the popular vote. Let's knock it down to 33%. I mean, for God's sakes.
He's at 35% in every poll, so that makes sense.
It should be no digits.
Yeah, let me say a word about polling in 2016. The final election polls showed Hillary Clinton winning by about 4% of the popular vote. That was, that was the projection. She won by about 3% of the popular vote. I mean, she won the popular vote by 3%. So the polling wasn't way off. It just, if you shift, was it 70,000 votes around in three states, Clinton wins.
Yeah,
so
but
it's
you
not,
don't.
You know,
I mean,
you're
they,
not
no,
going
to
be, but polls don't get a whole lot more accurate than that, so.
And I'm just worried, John, because you also said last week that, you don't hold Trump voters responsible for Donald Trump.
Right.
And I do because he's behaving exactly the way he behaved on the campaign. And I just worry that people like you who have this false optimism about us.
It's a genuine optimism in my case.
I think you're genuinely optimistic, but I think it's
failing me.
Well, I don't think it's an accurate view of the country. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so the longer people like you continue to say, well, it can't really be that bad. People can't really believe that. They can't really think this. The worse it gets,
the more
who believe those things.
Okay, I'm a middle child, too, and I think what I'm also doing, maybe passive-aggressively, is trying to build a bridge, trying to have a radio community or, you know, you and Scott stand over there on the edge
Tempered
and lambast
is my,
the other side. How does that help, Mr.
Tempered is my brand. Yeah. Stay away from my brand.
It doesn't serve me well. I promise you, all it does is piss people off on both sides. But do you guys, so we'll insert a little of the Acosta Miller audio here. But do you think that Jim Acosta stepped over a line himself?
Yes.
No,
Jim, let me ask you a question.
That sounds like some National Park revisionism.
No, what I'm asking you is...
The Statue of Liberty has always
Jim,
been
let me ask you a question.
Of hope to the world
Jim,
for people to send
Jim, do you believe,
their people to this country.
Jim,
and they're not always going to speak
Jim,
English, Stephen.
Jim, do you believe...
Did you hear the audio of this, guy?
I did not.
How about you?
I heard only... snippets of it.
Okay. Well, just to be, here's a description of it. Stephen Miller is talking about the new immigration policy. Acosta says, that's not the values of the Statue of Liberty. Bring us your tired and your weary. And so then they get into an argument about what the policy should be. And Acosta said that that's not in keeping with American tradition. And Miller described him as being cosmopolitan and out of touch. Here's an interesting point about all of it. That maybe we should make sure that people can contribute to the economy, at least pay taxes. Maybe we should make sure that they are able to speak English. Maybe we should prefer people with degrees to those that don't have degrees. I think a lot of people watching that little tete-a-tete were on Stephen Miller's side, which is hard to be because he's reprehensible, right?
Right. Well, my best friend came from Colombia, unable to speak English, and he is now a wonderful functioning member of society, mm-hmm. you know, and does very well. I think there are economic studies that show that the immigrants do not suppress wages in this country, which is the biggest reason. I think that it was been a bad time for the president. So he sort of trumped this out to again go to his base, knowing that they would love it, even though there's no chance of it ever becoming reality.
Right. Is that why we're talking about that this week? Because we needed another distraction from...
Well, one thing this law does, this proposed law, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but he wants to halve the number of immigrants coming in overall. This idea of focusing on people who are highly skilled, who speak English, it's fine to attract those people. But again, the same studies I think Steve has read, I have read about them also, which suggests that these... You know, lesser skilled immigrants are very important to our economy. And you ask business leaders anywhere, and they need those workers. They need people who come in, and they don't really care whether they come here knowing English. They want them to learn English, and obviously, to get citizenship, you have to have some.
Well, they need them because they can pay them lower wages. And the argument is they do jobs Americans won't, and that's not true. They do jobs Americans won't at those wages.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And there's another economic point to this, which is not being mentioned. If you have the number of immigrants, first of all, I think you should have open borders. I'm very libertarian on this, but
Hillary lover.
Yeah, that's me. Anyway, if you have the number of qualified immigrants coming in, that does increase the number. It creates a deficit in the job market. That means they have to hire Americans. That also means wages go up. And that's the one area of the economy that hasn't really improved much at all is wages going up. It's a fairly cynical and ham-handed way to achieve that goal.
Well, do you think we should mandate higher minimum wages then?
No.
I mean, if this is to protect those people, let's not let them suppress wages anymore. It's ironic that Republicans are trotting this out because they're not advocates of that.
Why wouldn't you want to, if your concern is that the Americans won't take the jobs for such a low wage, why would you rather choke off the immigration to force the
wage up? I just said I want open borders.
I know, but
and immigration is the only way that economies grow, by the way.
Well, I've lost you then, but
no, because you have a higher population, more consumers, more capital in the economy,
taxpayers,
more spending.
They do pay taxes.
And taxes. So, no, immigration improves economies and lets it grow.
I don't know what to make of the observation, though, that so much of the work that we need done around our house is done by people who often don't speak English at all or very, very poorly. Landscaping, roofing, house cleaning. I could go down the list, but it's amazing how many competent, hardworking people are out there contributing to my life.
And contributing to the economy. As I said, they pay sales taxes. They pay, in one way or another, they pay real estate taxes. These people do contribute to the economy. And these studies over and over can show that it's a net positive. I mean, whether you don't like the fact that the guy doesn't speak English or you run into him at the bus stop is one thing. But if you're saying that this is a net economic detriment to our society, I don't think that it is.
And this is also a discussion that's been going on for well over 100 years. Teddy Roosevelt suggested a law that you have to be proficient in English in 3 years of entering the country. How you enforced it, though, and it never made anywhere. But this isn't a new discussion we've been having.
Let's just talk quickly, if anybody wants to say anything about Scaramucci. Eric, you each week post a competition of the best tweets of the week. And the one that I wanted to vote for, I was going back and forth between two that you offered. One was, serious question, Piglet's body, is that a costume or is that really what he looks like? I thought that was hilarious. And that did worst in your poll. It's the one I ended up voting for. But another one was, how is it, it was something like, you know, it must be true. When Scaramucci answers his phone, he says, talk to me. I thought that so fits.
And that one won. So
that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Scaramucci was like incredible character. I think we will all remember where we were when we heard that Scaramucci was fired.
Diet.
Because he was such an amazing character. I've never seen anything quite like it on the national political scene.
Have they actually released the actual, real, true reason why they let him go so quickly?
I think it was the Ryan Lizza interview. And that happened. Did that happen?
Come on. Crudity? That's really what bothered them?
It bothered Ivanka and Melania, who evidently didn't know about the pussy-grabbing thing, because the word was that they were both very offended by the words he used in that New Yorker interview.
All right.
Which is kind of shocking, isn't it? It
yes.
was General Kelly. Kelly didn't want him around.
I think the president of Mexico told the president in a phone call.
No.
That he
that's
thought
a
maybe
figure
he should
speech.
Go.
Or
the head of the Boy Scouts to call to praise his speech.
You know, that's the thing. You talk about sins against this president. And we do our brackets at the radio station, craziest Trump moments, but that the president lied about the Boy Scouts and that the Boy Scouts had to apologize for what the president said in their national jamboree is off the charts cuckoo.
You could have filled that bracket with just stuff in the last 2 weeks.
Here's my here's my Donald Trump defense, and they can use it if they want. So people say, well, you ever notice how all these lies are about Russia? They're always lying about Russia. If they are, there must be something there. I would counter by saying they are lying about everything. They're lying about getting calls from the Boy Scouts or the president of Mexico. So the fact that they're lying about Russia shouldn't really stand out, isn't really an indication that they're trying to hide something there. Yeah. It just shows that they're talking about it like they talk about everything else.
Yeah, it's their M.O.
Okay, Jay Sekulow, give me a call.
Janine asked a quick question. You guys, yes or no answer. When Trump says, you know, the head of the Boy Scouts called me and told me it was a fantastic speech, does he believe it when he says that?
Wow. That's a good question.
No, he doesn't.
Or is he conscious that he's lying?
Right. We used to give Reagan that pass, or eventually, or at least Reagan supporters asked for that pass. Yes, I think he believes it.
I can't imagine that he does. At first. Maybe by day three he starts to.
He tells it so often it becomes his own
reality. He is just so used to gilding the truth that it doesn't bother him to be making it up. And what he said, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, her excuse was, well, that they had he had conversations with Boy Scout officials right after the speech, and they said this. And then this becomes, as he processes it through his brain, becomes a phone call. And it's not because he really thinks there's a phone call. He just thinks that that sounds more authoritative and more
Or it's more considered. Economical. It's an easier way. It's, instead of saying, so then they came to the office, and then I did that. See, I had a call with them. I think he said not phone call. And I thought maybe he means, you know, I called upon you and I visited your place. But
I left my calling card.
You guys are all trying so hard.
I know. I will tell Janine what you guys said.
Okay. But Scaramucci's plan, by the way, it was announced what he was going to do the day he got fired, what his grand scheme was for communications out of the White House. One of them was that the president should that they should find a way to show his more human side. For instance, he should do a golf tournament and have a national lottery. And if you want to be in the golf tournament with the president, it would be a fundraiser. He's great on the golf course. Well, let's quit hiding or running from the fact that he golfs a lot. Let's embrace and go, yeah, he likes to golf. Come on, golf with the president. It'll be funny. Everybody will play through his hole or something like that. I thought, that's actually a pretty good idea. That's not a bad idea. They need to stop lying. His staffers can't get into arguments with the media, but he can. You look at some of the ideas that Scaramucci had, and they weren't all terrible. We'll never know. I don't think General Kelly's going to adopt them.
Kelly may be able to whip him into shape. He respects the military.
Okay. How about let's do this, and then we'll go on to our recommendations. Is Kelly there by Christmas Day? Bertrand,
oh,
go.
Oh, I hope so, yes.
Yes, I think he is.
Barely. No, I'm serious.
You're either pregnant or you're not, Scott. Is he there on Christmas Day?
Well, no, he's going to go through the Priebus thing, is that the other staff members were undermined, demeaned, and then President Trump on his Christmas message will make fun of him, and then...
Will Rex Tillerson still be there on Christmas Day?
No.
I don't think either of them are there. I actually think it's not because he can't corral the staff, but he won't be able to corral. I'm speaking about Kelly now, the president himself.
The president has never been very critical of someone in the military, a general.
Yeah, he does
right?
have a...
He's kind of...
What's the word on something for the brass, for the military?
Yeah. I don't know. You tell me, Mr. Scaramucci.
I know.
Or about Jeff Sessions. Is he going to be there by Christmas?
No.
Sessions is, because that would be the presidency's death knell if they fired or moved Sessions
or
from
Mueller.
Where he is
well,
now.
I think Mueller will be there by Christmas, too.
Yeah, I think Mueller has to stay
if Sessions
there
is there, Mueller's there.
Yeah. Let's do our recommendations for the week. Can I go first? No, Steve, you got to run. You go first.
Yeah, so I read this book. It's kind of unlikely, but it came across my door by Jonathan Putnam. It's called Perish from the Earth, and it's the second in his series of using Abraham Lincoln and Joshua Speed as sort of crime fighters in the 19th century. So, you know, it's creative fiction, and Lincoln is a lawyer riding on the circuit, and Joshua Speed, who, you know, they live together above the Speed store. And
a real person, Joshua Speed?
Yeah.
Okay. He was his bestest buddy.
Yeah, they were, you know, the stories. Oh, Lincoln shared a bed with a guy?
No.
Okay, it was Joshua Speed. Because it was cold.
John doesn't traffic in gossip.
I do. Roosevelt and Jefferson.
It just was cold. But that's how they lived. Anyway, so these two are sort of fighting crime on the Mississippi, or they're working in a murder mystery. It's a novel. I really enjoyed it because there was a lot about the riverboats. You meet other real life characters like Elijah Lovejoy and those along the way. And it's called Perish from the Earth from Jonathan Putnam.
And that's not the one where Lincoln gets silver bullets to kill the zombies.
No, the Vampire Slayer. No, that's different. That's a different incarnation.
Pretty awesome. How about you, Eric Zorn? What do you like this week?
Well, I've got two things. One is I want to ask for recommendations from the audience. If anyone's got a good, I've got 20 hours coming up in the car by myself, and I would like to have a good audiobook to listen to. And I'm looking for a recommendation for an audiobook. One that people, I put this out on Facebook, and people recommended, one of the things they recommended was To Kill a Mockingbird, read by Sissy Spacek, which is, I've heard it already. It's terrific. So I'm going to recommend that. If you're looking for an audiobook, and if you've got an audiobook to recommend, email me, ericzorn@gmail.com.
Or post it in the comments section below this on our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Scott Stannis.
I like Steve, I kind of stumbled onto a book of a deacon candidate at my church recommended. It's called Seven Revolutions, How Christianity Changed the World and Can Change It Again. And it's marvelous. It's part history, it's part theology, and it's part inspirational. And it talks about how Christianity essentially indeed changed the world, and how what Christianity has morphed into in the United States and how it applies here, and that it's become usurped and sort of misses the point where Christ said you should care for each other, you should accept other ideas and let them thrive and live in your community, all that stuff. It's a wonderful read, and I was rather surprised. And it's short. It's about 200 pages, so it's worth reading.
A friend of mine recommended, we started watching it last night, the new Netflix series that just dropped called Ozark. And wow, is this good. I mean, one episode in, my friend is further into it. Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, husband and wife team. They live in Chicago. There are great Chicago scenes in this, at least in the first episode. And just the upshot is, I won't give anything away, he is, Jason Bateman, a financial advisor, at least on the front. What he and his partner really are money launderers for a Mexican drug cartel. And very early in the very first episode, you find out that his partner's been skimming from them, and they found out, and bad things are about to happen to Jason Bateman, his partner, and their staff. And eventually they end up in the Ozarks, or at least some of them do. Wow. First episodes are sometimes choppy, but you can see the pieces coming together. This thing is running on all eight. first episode.
Wow.
Ozark.
That good, huh?
I liked it a lot. Now, that is this week's podcast. Thank you, Scott Stannis.
Thank you for having me.
Editorial cartoonist, Chicago Tribune, the temperate Eric Zorn. Steve Bertrand just stepped out of the studio. You'll hear him on WGN Radio. Ben, thank you, Mr. Cortez, for engineering this podcast. It's produced by Elif Garris. I'm John Williams. We'll drop another podcast on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can also listen online on the WGN Plus app or WGNradio.com. Just click on the WGN Plus tab. The Mincing Rascals podcast is a presentation of the WGN Plus podcast network. You can also catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on the John Williams Show on WGN Radio.